As we heard yesterday, floodwaters have reached the Menindee Lakes on the Darling River in western New South Wales for the first time in more than 3 years. The site of last year's devastating mass fish kill, which left up to 1 million fish dead. After a series of mass fish kills in January last year, fish are now able to swim the Darling River from Wilcannia to Menindee. Despite the good news, some communities and landholders along the Lower Darling aren't convinced that the flows will continue.
We honestly, down that way, don't believe that the New South Wales government has put critical human needs before irrigation. Unfortunately, we've seen the New South Wales Water Minister actually take embargoes out before it's reached down towards the bottom of the river. And so that's really hard to see. I mean, essentially, it's going to give us 12 months. But what happens after that? You know, are we back living on a dry river? Have we got more fish kills? Because we've got mass extraction occurring right now. You know, places like Cubby Station have opened their gates.
That's Grazier Kate McBride from Tolano Station on Breakfast yesterday. Melinda Pavey is the New South Wales Water Minister. She is with us on the line, I think, in a moving truck. Good morning to you, Melinda Pavey.
Good morning. How are you going?
Fine, thank you. Kate McBride's comments, are they correct? You're putting irrigators first, communities and the environment second.
Absolutely incorrect. And the other important fact is that I don't know Cubby Station. Cubby Station is in Queensland. Queensland hasn't had embargoes on the water flowing down. New South Wales has. For the first time in the history of New South Wales, we have had embargoes on floodplain harvesting during this rain event. And that was supported by communities everywhere to get the first flush of water down the Darling River. Now, Kate, it's important to remember and to remind our listeners that the water takes, you know, a couple of weeks to get down there. And it actually arrived in Menindee 2 nights ago with 10,000 megalitres, I understand, arriving in the past 24 hours. And our experts are predicting as much as, you know, 260 or even more gigalitres arriving at Menindee Lakes, filling Lake Wetherill.
I think it's worth just exploring this question of Cubby Station. It is near the Queensland-New South Wales border. It's been the focus of attention and criticism because of its huge water storage capacity. I think it's 469 gigalitres. Did you write to the Queensland government to try and stop Cubby from taking that water, the so-called first flush?
I have written to the Queensland government seeking their support, along with New South Wales, to not take water during this first flush. But their water sharing plans, as signed off by the Murray-Darling Basin Authority, doesn't prohibit them from the first flush. We're still finalising our water sharing plans under our water resource plans, and we have prohibited water take during this first flush and during a major event after drought.
Could you describe your reaction to the Queensland government doing nothing on that front, to Cubby taking that water?
That's really a position and a situation that I think should be responded by the Murray-Darling Basin Authority as well as the Queensland government. They do have limits that can be taken during a rain event, but they are questions for Queensland and the MDBA. I'm responsible for New South Wales, and I think it's really important to understand that we didn't take during that first flush. We had the panel that were making the decisions on lifting the embargoes made a decision on a one-third part of the northwest of New South Wales where there was danger to infrastructure. It was lifted for 3 days only.
Sure.
The only thing that
I respect you saying it's a matter for them, but you did write to Queensland making that request, so you clearly have a view on it. When they effectively ignored your request, what was your reaction?
Disappointment. I mean, we have been very fortunate after 3 years of dry weather, massive drought, only 1.5% of the normal inflows into the northwest of New South Wales, that these storm events have continued to happen, and we've had bountiful rain. We've had, you know, in some parts of Queensland and northern New South Wales, storm activity of up to 250 millimetres. But we haven't had this drought broken through the centre of New South Wales. So, yes, I am disappointed that there wasn't a national approach to not taking water to enable this first flush. But I am going to concentrate on the positives, that Menindee does have water after a massive three-year drought-breaking catastrophe that has had a very poor impact on many of our catchments.
Can I just ask, though, in terms of the future, because you're still, as you say, working on your water sharing plan, the the scenario in which Cubby Station can take this water quite legally under the water licence permits, would you like that changed in the future?
I would like to see more water coming down to New South Wales, but I'm the New South Wales Water Minister, I'm going to say. But this is an issue, and this is why I've been concerned about the operations of the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. I think New South Wales is being shortchanged from the Queensland perspective as well as the South Australian perspective. And that's even something that Victoria and I agree on. So, the Murray-Darling Basin Plan was designed not to be set in stone, to be a moving response to the way the environment and the way the water was flowing and running. And we've seen, you know, we're going to have a very terrible situation in New South Wales unless we get some rain through the centre of New South Wales. We've got Wyangla Dam down to 13%, yet the Commonwealth Environmental Water Holder dropped 22 gigalitres a few months ago into a swamp. They're the type of concerns that I want some answers to, that I want to continue having conversations with, because that's what my communities across regional New South Wales want me to do.
And can we be clear about why New South Wales hasn't lodged its water sharing plans?
Because I want to go out to another period of final consultation with our stakeholder reference groups. I think that's important. We've been through drought. We've had traumatised farmers, traumatised communities. I want to be able to be in good faith going back to those communities with my New South Wales officials and ensuring that we've picked up those issues that needed to be picked up and they're embedded into the plan.
And so is there some kind of understanding with the Commonwealth that that's what you're doing? Because David Littleproud had threatened a federal takeover of water management in New South Wales and to withhold funding. There is now a different water minister. Is there some kind of agreement in place?
2 points. David Littleproud stepped back from those threats before he stopped being water minister, and I'm having a very positive discussions and relationship with the new water minister, Keith Pitt. You know, we're on the same side here. We want better outcomes for our communities as well as the environment and to get things right.
Is New South Wales also stepping back from its threats to withdraw from the Basin Plan altogether?
We want the Basin Plan to better respond to New South Wales. We're supporting the Royal Commission, but it would be a responsibility of the federal government to hold that. We have a lot of disaffected...
Oh, Minister, could we get a straight answer on that? Is New South Wales stepping back from its threat to withdraw from the Basin Plan?
If we don't get the response New South Wales needs into the future, that is on the table.
So that still is there as a threat?
If we don't get the respect that our communities deserve, we are going into now, Hamish, a third year of no general security allocations along the Murray and the Murrumbidgee system. This is a catastrophic time. The drought is not broken through the centre of New South Wales. Burranjar, Hume, Dartmouth, Copeton, Pindaree, all our dams are at a very critically low point. The drought isn't broken, and we need to be able to have a response from the Murray-Darling Basin Authority to understand the stresses and the threats our communities are under.
And these four large earth walls built in the main channel of Darling below Menindi, will they be removed at any point?
They're going to be removed in the next week or so. And the other thing that I've achieved as being Water Minister in 2008, we had the station, Tyrrell Station, bought for, I think, $30 million by Penny Wong. All that water was kept back. We finally got some movement, and that water is going back into the Darling system, something I've achieved. And the block banks will be gone, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. We will do a first flush of the lower Darling with about 40,000 megalitres of water to get the skanky, rotten water out of there. We'll have a pulse of the Murray River at the same time, and then we'll have a continual flow so those communities in the lower Darling can thrive and prosper, and we don't have to keep delivering. We don't have to keep delivering water by truck to towns like McPoon-Carey.
Very briefly, Minister, the Blue Mountains Music Festival has been cancelled because of the threat of coronavirus. Do you expect other major public events in your state to be cancelled?
Well, I understand Paramasala has also been affected, a beautiful event supported much by the Indian communities around Parramatta. Yeah, it's a tough time for everybody, but, you know, we'll get through it.
Melinda Pavey, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Bye.